This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب رياض الصالحين في باب فضل العلم تعلما وتعليما لله. يحيى بن شرف النووي says in his book entitled The Gardens of the Righteous in the chapter The Virtue of Knowledge, Learning and Teaching It for the Sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من دعا إلى هدى كان له من الأجر مثل أجور من تبعه لا ينقص ذلك من أجورهم شيئا. Abu Huraira narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, He who calls others to follow a guidance will have a recompense equal to the recompense of those who follow him, without their recompense being diminished in any respect on that account. In this hadith, is recorded by Muslim on the section of knowledge and Ahmed in his Musnad and at Tirmidhi on the section of knowledge and Ibn Majah on the section of the introduction of his Sunan. So here, what's interesting here is Ibn Majah. We know Ibn Majah is one of the six books of Hadith. He uses this in his introduction of his Sunan. And what is an interesting thing, just a small point, when you see that some of the scholars of Hadith, some of them will say Sunan, some of them will say Jami'. When they say Sunan, if you ever see Sunan, it is them gathering, it is the way that they gather the ahadith. So when they say Sunan, they're gathering the ahadith from the methodology of the fuqaha. So it'll be Kitab al-Tahara, the book of purification, the book of buying and selling, the book of this, the book of that. Bukhari is not of that way, not of that method, and also Muslim. So Sunan Abi Dawood is the same method as well. So they will use and the using the chapter in the way of the fuqaha. So here when he talks about he who calls others to follow a guidance will have a recompense equal to the recompense of those who follow him. Man da'a ila hudan kana lahu min al-ajri mithlu ujuri man tabi'ahu. So this shows the virtue of teaching people. The virtue of teaching people the religion, the deen. But who are the closest people to the individual that is teaching? So if you're a man or a woman, what's the first person that you are most likely going to teach? Your family. Your family. So when you teach them something and they practice what you taught them, this hadith applies to that. So the fact of having children, you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within His creation, so we take the name Al-Khaliq, the fact that He has created and manifested that creation by giving you a child is a huge opportunity for you to go to Jannah through that child. Because what are you teaching them? Intentionally and passively. Like passively teaching. You know what I mean by passively teaching them? Like when you're just talking on the phone, or if you're talking to someone else, or if you're just in conversation and your intention is not to teach them that particular thing, but you're talking about something and they learn something from what you're saying and they apply it in that fashion, right? So one huge opportunity that I tell, you know, parents, or that when you're driving home from school with your children, is a huge opportunity to give just one life lesson or one hadith or something that they can practice. And when they practice that, inshallah, they receive the reward of practicing it because you call them to it. Man da'a ila hudan. And it's interesting here, the Prophet ﷺ said, man da'a ila hudan. Any form of guidance. And that's why the translation here is very, it's good. He says, he who calls others to follow a guidance, yani a form of guidance, an aspect of morality, an aspect of being honorable, right, in Islam. And then you tie that to Islam. And then they have that belief. So imagine if you teach them a belief or a moral practice, and they believe that in their hearts. That's huge. So if you teach them Salah, for example, which one is, I don't want to say more important, but which one is that priority? To teach them how Allah is the only one that deserves to be worshipped, or to teach them the arkan of Salah? Tawheed, the first one. Because the prayer is a sign and a manifestation of the first one. The first pillar is what? Tawheed. The second pillar is what? Is what? Proof of the first one. The strongest way to manifest the first one is prayer. Right? So when you teach your children how to pray, every time they pray, inshallah, you receive that reward. Can you imagine? You can't imagine. That's the whole point. Allah is wasi', He is abundance. He gives an abundance. Allah is ar-Rahman. He is merciful from our shortcomings as fathers, as mothers, from when we teach our children these beautiful things. So imagine if you're someone that is a school teacher. Imagine if you're someone that is an entrepreneur and you're teaching your employees, or there's someone that becomes a Muslim. Right? Imagine if you're someone that is a co-worker and they practice some element of morality because them being around you. And so, you know what? I started praying because of you. You know, I wanted, or maybe I become a, I'm thinking of becoming a Muslim, or I started going out with my children because you mentioned, you know, in Islam is very virtuous and I see how you treat your children. So I started spending time with, inshallah, inshallah, you get some type of reward and virtue from that, bi-idhnillah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying here, he says, you'll get the reward, the recompense equal to that recompense of those that follow him. And then again, as we mentioned in another hadith with charity, without the recompense being diminished in any respect to that account. لَا يَنْقُصُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أُجُورِهِمْ شَيْئًا. So the fact that you are receiving reward from you calling that person to that good, and you receive the same amount of reward, it doesn't diminish from their reward at all. Why is that important to mention? And it goes back to a general rule that is very important that we talked about in Sadaqah. Because in the hadith of Sadaqah, it talks about the same thing. You know, when you manaqsat sadaqatun mal, charity doesn't decrease. And you know, when you give from that, it doesn't decrease from your reward. So what is, why is this important that the Prophet ﷺ is mentioning this?
Benefiting to the person when they are teaching more and more and more and more. That's why they have the greed of teaching more, and also they have the desire to teach more.
Okay, yes, definitely. So it's a form of encouragement. But something a little deeper than that. Fear. Fear of what? And that fear is founded, what caused that fear? Because you're thinking in what terms? Dunya. What's that?
If I give them, I lose from my own.
Because that deals with what? That is what?
Material. Not decreasing from our wealth or from our side anything. Allah is giving from His sources.
It's what? Logical. It makes sense. If I give, it will take away from that person's. Islam, that is why that's why I say it's much deeper than that. It deals with a principle of our faith. We do not rely on logic. We use logic. We don't deny logic. Of course not. Logic is a means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to make sense of things. But our relationship with Allah is not based on logic. It is not. If that was the case, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet speak about Jannah? فِيهَا مَا لَا عِينٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ. Is what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard. Just bear with me. There's just in the back. Okay, there's some. حُرُ الْعِينَ. You familiar with حُرُ الْعِينَ, gentlemen? The brothers are laughing, smiling. Why y'all smiling, brother? Hurr Ain is mashallah, the female companions in Jannah. You know the Prophet ﷺ talks about Hurr Ain, what will be the most beautiful sight for the man, for the husband of his wife in Jannah? Is when, just bear with me, this is hadith, where he lifts her dress, the bottom of her dress, lifts the bottom of her, and sees her bone marrow, and that's the most beautiful thing that he ever saw. Bone marrow. Can we fathom that? No. Right? The angels, are the angels here, brothers, right now? Brothers, are the angels here? No, the angels are in the masjid. Right? Right? And the angels always with us. Right? Is there a logical explanation behind all of that?
No.
No. When the Prophet ﷺ is explaining the angels and that their wings, the wingspan of the angel, Angel Jibreel, all of these things are something that we cannot totally comprehend. But it is yajib, it's upon us to believe that. Now, and the reason that there is illogical, something that I want to say illogical, something that our logic is not an instrument for us to accept it. That's the whole purpose of being a Muslim, submitting and surrender to the will of Allah. Because there will be things you don't understand. But trusting in Allah's knowledge and what He says is a test for our iman. So when the Prophet ﷺ is saying that you will receive the same reward as the person that does that act of guidance, it's not going to decrease from their reward at all. Because Allah is wasi', Allah is wasi', He is abundant, He gives an abundance. To where if we rely on mathematics, it's not going to work. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is much greater than that. So that is an important rule for us to understand in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we think even about charity on fundraisers, you know what we do with fundraisers? Right? I remember this one sheikh say, he said, if this is from your surplus money, don't give from your surplus money. Right? When you give, yes, in your bank account, it may be you took 500 out, there's zero. Brother Kif, I see zero. What are you going to tell me? There's zero. I'm broke. Right? Right? But it's important for us to know in our hearts that the reward is going to be manifest. We don't know how. And the reliance on the reward is very, very, very important for the mu'min and the Muslim. But at the same time, the Muslim uses logic. If he has five kids and there's zero and he walks home and he enters the door, say, Alhamdulillah. So yes, where's dinner? You're going to pay the rent? No. I gave my rent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, you have to join it this time. You know, fulfilling the wajib of providing for your family is also that which is recommended. MashaAllah. This is the second time look, we cut him. Look. This time he knows to cover his head this time, right? I saw when he crawled over there, khalas, it was bedtime. All right, barakallahu feek. Huh? He's doing the tadabbur. Allahu Akbar. Tadabbur. Hey, no, barakallahu feekum. Alhamdulillah. Sheikh, so is there a, I don't mean to change the subject, but I just saw, there's a ceasefire, sah, in Sudan now?
Suppose the agreement is here, but I think there is still some places.
In some places? Inshallah, Sudan, you know, there's a civil war in Sudan. Civil war. Yeah, but there's a 7-day ceasefire, to my knowledge. Right. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our Muslim brothers and sisters in Syria and in Turkey and in Palestine and in Uyghur Muslims and in Rohingya and also in Sudan. Wa fi sharq al-ardi maghribaha. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.